Put gallstones away. Make sure your hands are free. My goal today is to talk about a very simple concept of faith and salvation. That's my goal today. The hard part is I'm going to be sharing what I see in the scripture. As we get near the end, it may be difficult to hear. Please don't sit back and go, oh, well, close off, get set. I'm just sharing what I see. It's for you to go and say, all right, he shared what he's seen. I'm going to go and see what the scripture says, and I'm going to go see what Yahweh says. But what I see in the scripture is multiple witnesses of the same thing. I don't see it all in one place. I see it all over the place. The thought that people before Yeshua came along were not saved needs to be thrown away. Yahweh has always been a God of salvation. Always. Salvation was offered from the very beginning. And it didn't change. You see, if it changes when we cross over into a new part of the Bible, then Yahweh changes. Yahweh is consistent in what he does. And we have to understand, if we want to understand things we read in Yeshua and about Yeshua and the reality of salvation and faith, if we want to understand it, we have to go back and be like the people of Yeshua's day and study Torah. Torah transforms our mind. Why? Because then we start to have a vision that as they were speaking of Yeshua, they understood, oh, he's speaking of Torah. 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 The hard part today is most of us grew up learning just about Yeshua with no connection. And that's where we are. So salvation and faith. I told them from the beginning, at the beginning of service, that I would title this Salvation and Faith 101. 101 meaning this is the very basics of these two concepts and how they're connected. Now I need an answer to this. And all you have to do is nod your head, yes or no, by your opinion. Or yes or no, by your opinion. I always say it by faith. Again, yes or no. If you're doing this, I'll know you're not sure. Okay? See, number of yeses. Don't go there. Exodus 32, verse 1. This is when Moses goes up the mountain. He leaves the people with their faith. These people are to have faith not only in Yahweh, but in Moses. And they're supposed to just stay here and wait for Moses to bring the commandments down. They saw that Moses was delayed coming down the mountain. The people said, we need you to make us Elohim. We see, it's very hard because in English they'll throw out the word gods. That's the same word. The word Elohim throughout scripture can either be translated as gods, many, or Yahweh. So we've got to be careful when we see that word gods, where it's coming from. Make us Elohim. What's intriguing is it's not only Elohim of Yahweh, but it's Elohim of Moses. Because he says, and this shall go out before us and lead us, like Moses did. So Joshua, I'm going to prepare you to lead them out and bring them in. The golden calf is supposed to do that and provide that role. They did not believe in Moses' word, wait here till we come back. So somewhere in the process, their faith crumbled. Why? Because they were waiting. And so they made their own way. So what happened to their faith? Well, their faith crumbled. Because it was beyond expectation. We want you now. You haven't come, so say, well, you know what? They weren't saved by their faith because they weren't faithful enough. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Now, I want you to understand I'm being technical. But for those who know me about words, I'm awfully technical. Specifically when it comes to meaning. Matthew 24, 15 to 21. This is speaking of tribulation. It sounds like, you know, people coming to Aaron and her going, oh, what are we going to do? Tribulation, waiting. Yahweh's not coming. Verse 15. So when we see the abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel and the prophet standing in the holy place, then let those from Judea flee the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop and down do not come down and take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or in the Sabbath, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever will be. Unless these days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days were shortened. I don't know what you read. I read that the tribulation is always coming. Whether you're in Exodus, whether you're in Matthew, whether you're in Daniel, it doesn't matter. Tribulation is always coming. If tribulation is not shortened, no flesh would be saved. Now, I read that. We read that. What does it say about mankind's faith? I need to let that sink in for a minute. Are you saved by faith? You just read that no one's faith will ever be strong enough because Yahweh has to shorten the days. Is any person's faith strong enough to save them? No. No one's faith. And I pray each morning, Yahweh, I know you're letting it make me easy. And I know that when you make it hot and hard, I fall fast. And anyone that denies that is ignoring the reality of who you are. None of our faith is strong enough. Doesn't exist. Ephesians 2:8, I think, is an important summation of this. For by grace we have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of Elohim. I want to emphasize a few things. For by mercy. So why, how are you saved? By mercy. Period, exclamation mark. Put that in your minds and never let that go. You are saved by mercy. We have been saved through our relationship of faith. Through it. And it was a gift of Elohim. Did we deserve it? No. Now, I want to emphasize, not of yourselves. It's not of yourselves. You're saved by faith. Now, the question is, we've taken faith, we put it as a faith versus works. And this becomes a problem because we sit back and go, oh, I'm not even saved by faith. How in the world do faith and works work? How do they come together? How do we take these scriptures to understand them? Turn me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Verses 1 through 4. Now, understand, Paul is speaking to whom? Romans. He's speaking to Romans, some of which may be God-fearers. They are following Yahweh and his commands the best they can. Some may be Israelites that have lived in Rome and have kept their faith. Some might be Israelites who lived in Rome and have started to what? Become a little more Roman. To this, Paul comes in and starts teaching. What then shall we say? Now, by the way, he's speaking of against the comment that you must be circumcised to be saved. That's the argument that he's joining in right now. What then shall we say that Abraham our father was found according to the flesh? Meaning, because his flesh was circumcised, he should be saved. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him to righteousness, not to him who works. The wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Now the point here is this. Let's say we're going, you know what? Rick has said, I will do a job for you. Great. You know what? For the job, Rick, you're going to need some money. So I'm going to give you an upfront amount. You're not only pay for it, but also to pay you in for the cost that you're going to be doing. I'm crediting it to you. Because he has, by his word, said, I'll do it. Verses 13 and 22. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. That means this idea of righteousness and faith go way back to Abraham, not to Yeshua. But this idea goes back. For if those who are of the law are heirs, meaning if you're just born into the law, thus you are going to be a child of God. Faith is made void and the promise is made of no effect. Because the law brings about wrath. For there is no law, there is no transgression. If the law could save us, it would have stopped Adam and Eve from falling. If the law by itself could save us. Because we have the very idea, I'm giving you one single command. Now again, the law is perfect, so where is the problem with the law? Well, the law is that we made covenant. It's our covenant, and we're the problem. We're the problem in that covenant. I'm going to continue in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that might be according to grace, we were spoken of that, so the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those of the law, meaning those who grow up in the faith, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, meaning those who are being called, who is the father of us all. In the presence of him whom we believe, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. What he's meaning here is, there was an unnamed child. He didn't go, can't have children. He believed what Yahweh said, even beyond his age, beyond his circumstances, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't go, no, my wife just can't have children. He did not waver the promise of God's own belief. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced that while he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him as righteous. He completely believed, and he was credited, going, I totally believe Rick is going to do the job. I'm giving him the money. I completely believe. Romans chapter 3, it's not too far from there, verse 27. If you can be saved by works, then you have something to boast about. You have something to boast about. Verse 27, whether it is boasting then is excluded by what, the law or works? No, by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. For is he the God of the Jews only? Or is he also God of the Gentiles? Yes, Gentiles also. Since there is one God who justifies the circumcised by faith, so he justifies those who grow up by faith, they grow up in the faith, and the uncircumcised through faith. Meaning he justifies both by their belief, then we do not make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish it by faith. Because you can't establish the law unless you believe that God gave it to you. Unless it is the way of life, you cannot establish it. Now, return to James, chapter 2. Many would believe that James is contrary to Paul. James cannot be contrary to Paul. If we're speaking of the scripture, and the actual words are Yahweh's words, then they must line up. And for us to understand faith and works as they have been taught, we need to throw that away and understand how the scripture teaches them. Now, James 2, 14 to 24. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, the one says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, do not give them the things that are needed for the body. What is the problem? Thus also faith by itself does not have works is dead. If someone says, you have faith, but I have works. Now notice the person speaking to James is breaking them up. You have faith, and I have works. Listen to James' answer. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Do you understand how James is connecting them? I will show you my faith by what I do. You may say, I believe. You may say, I do. But I will connect them by saying, I will show you what I believe by what I do. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. You want to know, O foolish man, that faith without deeds is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see the faith was working together with his works? Working together. And by the works, faith was made complete. Perfect. Let's go back to the idea of Ricky. Until Ricky, if he promised to do the work, until the work is done, we're still waiting to see if that word was actually spoken the truth. And if he doesn't finish the job, did he truly believe in the first place? To James the same. You see, faith is made of trust, which is belief. But it must lead to works. If it doesn't lead to works, it doesn't exist. Your word is meaningless and void. Building faith. I want to go through some of these. We're going to read a few of these. Please write them down. I have way too many verses for us to go through. You realize faith is salvation. But did you notice when we read in Romans, who did Paul refer to? Abraham. He said Abraham was justified by his faith because he believed and it was credited to him righteousness. Now guess what? If I give Rick righteousness, that's like me judging him. He's right. And if I judge him right, well guess what? He gets to come and live with Yahweh forever. Righteousness. This is the righteousness. This is the judgment. But I'm giving him the righteousness as a credit. If he doesn't complete, remember, works are the completion of the faith, then he has to give it back to me. Remember the talent and the parable of talent? If you just go and sit aside, if you don't actually use it, if it doesn't complete itself, it's worthless. Genesis 12, 1 through 4 is the beginning of what we believe, of what we see as a relationship with Elohim and Abraham. Or Abram in this case. And God says to him, leave your father, leave your country, leave your father's home and go to a place I'm going to show you. And whatever the relationship is, he believed them. How many of you today, you imagine And some of you do know because you're about to move or have moved. What commitment you have to make to this? You're going somewhere. This is not like, I know a map, I'm going to Alabama. I know where Alabama is. You didn't have maps. You're going into the great unknown, almost like Columbus crossing the sea. You don't know if there's going to be monsters out there. But he already believed and followed. See, it already starts. In Genesis 15, 1 through 6, this is actually the chapter of faith, the beginning of faith that Yahweh makes a point of. He says to Abram in a vision, I am your shield. By the way, the idea of saying the shield of Abraham is saying I'm your protector. I'm going to protect you. And I am your great reward. This word reward, treasure or inheritance. Abram goes from there and goes, oh, but Yahweh, you give this great reward. All I got is a servant to give it to. He goes, no, no, no. Look at the stars. So your children will be. The scripture says Abraham believed it, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Then he goes, but how will I attain to it? And of course, the whole story of the flame and the torch. Meaning Yahweh's going, by my grace, by me, I will make sure you attain to it. Genesis 22 is actually the completion of what we see in 15. It says that Yahweh comes, and he comes to test Abraham. This test would be like, I'm coming to inspect Ricky's work. I'm coming to inspect it. And remember, the promise is, from the stars, so your seed shall be, right? So he has a child, a miraculous child. Wonderful, great. Now Yahweh goes, yeah, you believe me then. I didn't have you do anything. I just told you that you believe that credit righteous. Now I'm going to have you actually do a part of the job. The only person that you can actually have descendants from, I want you to go offer and kill him for me as a burnt offering. Do you understand that Abram is like, but I already believe that you're going to bless me with many children. I have to believe to the point of giving my son? He has to completely believe. This is the old. He's old. He's older than he was. He has to believe even more that if this was dead, a new child can be start all over again. This is what? The completion of his what? That first promise. Did he follow it? Was it perfected? Was it fulfilled? Now, we might sit back and go, I don't understand. This is just a picture from NASA of the stars. Why would Yahweh have him look at that? And you know what? I believe Abraham knew the story of Genesis. I believe Abraham, as most people back then, set their journeys by them. They were their compass. And Yahweh goes, look to the stars. Let me put a little insert in. Remember those things I made? If you believe I made them, can you believe that I can give you a son? Because I made them from void, from nothing. So your children shall be from nothing that will bring forth into creation. That answers, that comes to the big question. How are we saved? Again, I'm going to put some verses up here. We'll go to a few. A lot of them I want to get just an explanation of. But I challenge you to go back because you can't just tell Rabbi to tell answer truth. Last time I checked, I'm human too. Last time I checked, I'm a sinner too. Not to believe me. Matthew 19. Let's actually go to that one. It actually, this is an actual incredible verse because it actually links in what we've already been talking about. Now, we actually know it very well. It's one that Rabbi and I go to on multiple occasions. Because salvation is almost a message like a nail that is hammered constantly into the world. And so, to be honest, it's hammered so often we almost have to speak on it to show that it's not the way everybody's been teaching it. Look at the scripture. Matthew 19, verse 16. This is the rich young ruler. "And behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I shall have eternal life?'" Basically saying, how do I become saved? Yeshua speaking says, "Why do you call me good?" Now this is a very, this is a big tangent. This word good goes back to the garden. Yahweh made it and it was good. So this is no like, we're going to lay this aside. It's like, why do you call me good? And I think it's a question, why are you calling me a creation of the Father? No one is good but one. No one is good but one, and that is Elohim. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Now again, this is different than what's taught in most congregations. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Which ones? And Yeshua goes into all, do not murder, do not commit adultery, false witness, basically all the ones that deal with the works towards us and people. The ones that are seen. The young man said, "All these things I have done," well, we can all be honest, none of us are perfect at them. So this shows the immaturity of his faith. For us to go, "Oh yeah, I follow all the commands, I'm waiting for the lightning to strike." Because I know me. Yeshua said, if you want to be complete, meaning don't just go give me your words that you have done these things. If you want to be complete, go and sell everything you have and come and follow me. May your works equal your words. May your works equal your beliefs. May they be the same. Then you will find fulfillment. But notice that we're saved by the commandment. That means you're saved by the word. That means you're saved for Yeshua came to have salvation. Matthew 10, 21 and 23 is speaking of tribulation. And by the way, 24, 9 through 14, Yeshua speaks of it again because he's speaking to disciples about tribulation, both times in tribulation. We're going back to Exodus. At this verse, he says, "Those who cleave or hold on to the end shall be what? Saved." So now we have, we're saved by the commandments, number one. Number two, now we're going to be saved if we hold on to the end, mentioned twice, by the way, in regard to tribulation. That means the idea that it's going to be easy for us to go, you know what? I really don't need to follow the commandments. I'm going to go my own way. Just like at Mount Sinai. John 1, and I want to draw this one up, is that if we get to John 3:16, you have to understand that John 3:16 is built upon John 1:1. You can't take John 3:16 and go, you know what, I'm going to pull it out, I love that verse, we're going to post it up on all walls, and we're only going to understand it by those words as they are. It must be understood in what? Context. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the what? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Not meaning Yeshua. The Word was. "And the Word became flesh." Okay? The Word became flesh. Let's go ahead and turn to John 3. John 3, 12 to 17. So on that understanding, we come to John 3. Let me start with verse 12. He's talking to Nicodemus. If I told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who has come down from heaven. That is, and guys, too often we want to take that word son and we make it into a physical person. That word, if you connect it back into Deuteronomy, into Genesis, is the word seed. In Genesis, he tells the woman and the man, your seed will be separated from his seed. To Abraham, a promise to his seed, to David, and to your seed. To Isaac, to your seed, was that promise made. To Jacob, it was to your seed. So when we look at the word son, we can't just take and go, well, it always says son, so I understand it in the physical sense. No, you have to connect the dots. This is the seed of man who is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the seed of man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him, who is him, the word, the seed, should not perish but have eternal life. Remember what Abraham? He believed in the promise God gave him, the word he gave him, right? And he was credited with righteousness. Righteousness is the account you have to present at the doors to get in. Thankfully, through grace, Yahweh is abundant in giving that out. For God so loved the world, for Elohim so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten seed, that whoever believes in that seed, that word, should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his seed into the world to condemn the world. He didn't send the word to actually judge you. No. The word was sent that you would, that the world through him, through, listen to that word, we are saved by grace through what? Faith. Faith in what? The word. The word here, and the world through him, the word and faith, might be saved. Might be saved. John 10, 7 through 9 is a whole other time when he speaks of salvation. He says, I am the door, or I am the gate. Anyone who entered through me shall be what? Saved. Now, by the way, if you're looking up the word doorway, in Hebrew, the word doorway in Hebrew is mezuzah. What must we write on the mezuzah of every house? His word. If you enter in through his word, you shall be what? Saved. Now, as you look at these verses, you might go, oh, there are five different ways. And guys, there's more than this, because in the Tanakh it says, by rest and by repentance you shall be saved. So I can show you far more than five ways to be saved. And I say, this is really confusing. Which way am I going to choose? Here's the reality. Guess what? Those five ways. If I turn my hand, and they all line up, it's just one hand. Five different examples of one thing. If I turn my hand the other way, there are five different things. If I turn my hand this way, there are five examples of the same thing. This is where it gets hard. My question up there, are we saved by believing in a man? And I really need that to sink into you. Is believing in a man, the flesh, the Savior? Remember that all of those words have to link up and be one. For these words to be Yahweh's words, because they have to be consistent. We You're just concierge. You should not make for yourselves a carved image in any likeness of anything in heaven above or the earth below. If you make the word only Yeshua, you carve an image. You carved an image that only from this point forth, and only a belief in this person. If you do that, then that's fine, but then you better go back and sort of change a few of your beliefs, because that means that Yahweh's first system he set up for salvation didn't work, so he threw it out and started with a new one. But if that's not the case, then that means Yahweh had the same system for salvation from the beginning all the way to the end. A belief in what word is spoken, and that belief being so true that you act upon it. Romans 10, return with me real quick. We're getting close to the end. Romans 10. Remember, if we were talking about these things, we were talking about the idea of the completion or perfection is that our word we believe and then we actually follow through. When Yahweh asks us to do something about what we believe, we actually do it. That completes what we've said. Like with actually finishing the floor or whatever job I've asked him to do. When he's completed it, well, guess what? It's completion. It's done. Verse 4. For Messiah is the end or the completion of the law for righteousness to anyone who believes. He is the completion. He is the one person whose faith was actually enough to be saved. You're voiding that faith. Then he asked Yahweh, can this cup pass? But by your will. And Yahweh basically said, now you go. He had the faith to believe that Yahweh could lead him through all that he would go through this time. And that even on the tree, as they were gawking at him and calling him names, he saved others. He can't save himself. He's still going, Father, forgive them. Verse 5, Moses writes to the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteous by faith speaks it this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? The point of this is to say, who by your works can actually earn a way to heaven? Who can build a tower by what you've done? Or who will descend onto the depths of the earth? Now, by the way, if you go back up here, notice that the idea is in anything in the heavens above or the earth beneath. This is the same concept spoken here. Who will descend into the abyss? Well, what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. If you confess with your mouth that Yeshua, the Word of God, is Lord, if you actually believe and say the Word has authority over my life, and you believe in your heart, and whatever you believe, by the way, is what you're going to do. If you believe in your heart, you're going to do it. That he raised him from the dead, meaning the completion of the work that he started with Messiah. You will be saved. For the heart, one believes into righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Same concept. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Lessons to learn as we close. And there's a lot. We're saved by grace. Saved by grace. Underline that, put some exclamation points, because that is the reality. Without that, no one is saved. Because even Yeshua was sent. through a faith relationship, a trust relationship that we have. You talk to most couples that are married for more than, say, 10, 15, 20 years. They're going to talk about their love is stronger. Why? Because they've learned over the years that they can trust in their spouse. Because there were times where they were sick or they were hurt, and their spouse picked up and they took care of them. And those deeds, those words, spoke more to their heart than all the I love yous before that. Faith begins in believing Yahweh and His Word. See, Abraham actually had to believe that Yahweh was true before he believed His Word, because it doesn't matter. If I don't believe Yahweh, I'm not going to believe anything He says. It doesn't matter. One leads to the other. Faith is made complete when our true trust the words Yahweh has spoken to us and obeyed. And that's going to mean giving up part of us. We've been talking about that the last few weeks. There are things, expectations, beliefs, truths, things we've held on to. You're going to have to give them up. Just like the rich young man. If he walks away, and Yeshua says, you can be made complete. And he walked away. What does that say about his faith? By the way, if you want to double check, continue reading. The disciples then say, then who can be saved? Yeshua says, by man, no one. But with God, nothing is impossible. And that's the context of that verse. Nothing is impossible. That a wretched man like me could be saved shows the impossibility of Yahweh's work. Impossibility. Lessons continue. My last one. Do not make the carved image. The example I try and use a lot is this. If we want to understand Yeshua, understand what you would do to this, you would do to Yeshua. This is your word that you carry around. Now He's given it to you. Through it, He leads you. Through it, He has redeemed you. Over and over again. You have to understand its role. It's still this. Without Yahweh, it's just a book. Just a whole bunch of words. And again, why believe if you don't actually trust in the person who spoke it? The Word became flesh. His Torah. That's a beautiful thing. Because we have an example to look at. We need to honor it. We need to honor Him. But I need you to understand this. In honoring Him, we can never cross over the line to make a carved image of Him. We can't. Those who hang on to the end will be saved. In Torah, choose you this day, life and blessings, death and curses. That word life is not just me. Now, Yahweh breathes life into you. He is offering you life with no end. Choose you this day. Just be one. Salvation and faith. I'm going to close by saying this. This is not an easy teaching. And if it came across in any way, it's just absolutely the truth. I apologize for that. My goal was to share as much of what I saw as the scripture from Genesis to Revelation line up. that's consistent with the value. I only want that. And I'm sharing my best opinions of how I see those actually line up and not be separate entities of one another. It is for you. Go back and check these verses. It is for you to listen. Because my walk is the walk I have with Him. You either heard His voice or you didn't. When we hear His voice quite often, there can be conflict sometimes. Sometimes the conflict is because man's voice was interjected in between. But it's not for you to listen to me. It's for you to listen to Yahweh. Through His Word. Go back and check. Because faith and salvation are basic principles. If we don't understand these, how can we build the rest of our relationship with Yahweh? Because if these are wrong, any tremor, any rising water, if your faith is built on sand, teachings of men, I promise you, they will not stand to the end. But if you're listening to the voice of God, then you can be like Jacob. I've been wrestling through a turbulent night. I'm broken. I'm bruised. I can't even hardly get up to walk because Yahweh has struck me in the leg. But I'm not letting go until you bless me. And if I have to give every strength just to hold on to you, because you're the only blessing, you're the only one that's going to get me on the other side of this. We've all been there through tribulation. Yeah, He doesn't expect you to be victorious coming into tribulation. He just wants you what? Hang on. Again, I can't reiterate enough. You realize that this blessing conveys the most powerful scriptural thing. His name. Upon you. The Rebbe Yahweh by Yisrael. The Yahweh to the Diga and the Potato. The Yahweh bless you. Yahweh, may His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh's face turn towards you and give you Shalom.